My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 12th of August 2009 and the time is 7:25 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your date of birth and where you're from?
My name is Amanda Amelia Brown. My date of birth is 28th of March 1977 and I'm from Newcastle.
And how are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth this morning?
Gradually getting slightly more nervous because people keep talking about falling off, which hopefully won't happen to me. I won't be the first, but it has been spoken of quite a few times in the last few weeks, particularly leading up to this morning.
And have you made the trip especially from Newcastle to come and do this?
I'm actually in the process of moving permanently down to London. So I'd applied whilst I lived up in the northeast whilst I was in Newcastle, and then I've actually got a position at a university down here, so I'm actually working down here now, but I'm in transition of making a permanent move to London.
And in your time that you've been looking around London or getting your work, have you come by and seen the plinth?
Yes, a couple of times. Obviously, I've been looking at it online because it gives you more of an idea what happens at different times of the day. You can see what the crowds look like, you can see who's up there, what they're doing. But the first instance of actually coming past and looking at the plinth was at 2 in the morning, and that really unnerved me because it was after we'd been to Somerset House for some cinema. We came along and there was a young man up there and he was being heckled by some drunk people, which really unnerved me, and I said to my partner that I'm concerned about being up there if that happened to me. And he was like, rest assured, it's a good time. It's not going to happen to you. You're not going to have a lot of drunk people heckling you. And then we saw a guy drop his trousers and flash the guy on the plinth. And I thought, well, that would happen to me. But no, at 8 o'clock, it should be all right. Fingers crossed.
And are you pleased with the time slot now?
Yes, very much so. Obviously, it was an early start to get here and to do this interview and everything beforehand, but no, I think the time slot is perfect for me, yes.
How did you first hear about the project?
Now, I was trying to recall exactly when that was. I remember Googling it to find out more about it, and I remember reading about it somewhere, and it might have been a Northeast paper or something linked to it, because obviously we've got Gormley's Angel of the North, so everything in reference to Gormley that's written in the Northeast makes reference to the Angel, because obviously his most famous work. And then again, when we had a lot of naked people wandering around Newcastle, which again was incredibly well known, I'm wondering if something from that, I actually came across it by that means and saw it in the press and then found out more about it. So I think it was possibly that route.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
I think because it didn't involve being naked, because we were intrigued by that whole concept, but I just didn't have the self-confidence to do something like that. And I thought I'd encourage a few people to apply, but it ended up it was only myself who applied. But it looks something that would be different and interactive and just an opportunity to spend an hour doing something I wouldn't normally do in the course of my day. I wouldn't normally find somewhere in Newcastle to stand on a plinth and just hold up cards, throw sweets to people, so yeah.
And when you heard that you had a place, how did you react?
Oh, obviously very excited, and immediately rang my partner again, and I was like, oh, did you get a place? And he was like, oh, a place? Well, I didn't apply. Like, okay, it's just me with a place. And at first it was initial excitement, but then it kind of died off quite quickly because nobody else I knew had a place, and it didn't really think about it that much until obviously it all started, the initial press, then the launch, and then everybody started going up there, and gradually there'd been a build-up through people I know at work and network, so a lot of people got to know more about it. Sports people I do things with, they started to find out about it. So when I went home at the weekend, people started talking about it. So there's been this gradual sort of excitement building up around it. One of my friends has taken the morning off work and she's going to be sitting at home so I can ring her. And so, yeah, at first, excitement, died off, and then just this huge build-up till this morning. So I was like, no pressure, don't worry.
And the more people have heard about the project, how has that made you feel? Has it calmed nerves or made you more nervous? Or?
Well, it's been up and down, I would say, because sometimes people are like, oh, so what are you doing? And you kind of start talking about it and they come up with suggestions. Not actually that many people have very many suggestions, because it's just something, I think it's got to be slightly personal and something you feel comfortable with doing. But no, nobody came up with any suggestion that I could do apart from them wanting me to look rather ridiculous in a costume that would make me fall off. That came up yesterday as well. There was quite a few people insisting it would be hilariously funny if I went and got a costume where I could barely walk in it and I fell off, and so that increased nerves. But yeah, so there's, I think this last week everybody's talked about it. It's either been text about it or emailed about it or Facebooked about it or just people talking about it all the time.
And what is it that you've decided to do for the hour?
I'm going to be the fairy of the north. So I'm dressed in a little fairy outfit, but I'm supporting Marie Curie. And so I'm covered in little daffodils, which they've kindly loaned me. And I've got little sweets with little Marie Curie stickers on, just to raise awareness. Because obviously there are a lot of charities out there, but they don't tend to do massive drives apart from certain times during the year. For Marie Curie, it's obviously March with the daffodils out because that's their emblem. And it's just nice to, it's an hour up there just to point out that maybe the charity needs support at other times during the year, and to just sort of give them the opportunity to have a little bit more publicity. And one of their staff who I met yesterday, she's coming down and she's going to take some pictures for the newsletter and things. So it's just that whole sort of, this is what daffodils represent, and just to maybe hopefully implant in people's head that, you know, when it comes around every March, they really do need that extra support for the work they do.
And for the record, can you tell us what it is that Marie Curie do?
Well, they, not only do they do research, but they also support people who are suffering from cancer, particularly people who might be terminal, and they may supply nurses to go to look after people. And it's care which is often beyond what families are capable of, or support for families who need that additional help when somebody is rather ill. But they also raise awareness, I would say, just by being around. And there is awareness that, you know, charities are very helpful in many ways in supporting families, but also in supporting the types of research that might go on in order to find cures, different methods of helping people cope, and getting the message across that, you know, we all are touched by it at some point. I don't think anybody in this day and age hasn't been touched by some form of cancer in their family or friends. So, yeah.
So how exactly will you be raising awareness, and how will you spend the hour?
So I've got my little cards, and one of them is please support Marie Curie, and I'm going to have all of my little daffodils. They're on my wings, they're on my dress, but as I said, all the sweets have got little stickers on them from Marie Curie, so I'll throw them out to hopefully the people who'll be around. But I've also got my partner's here, and he's got leaflets with their own little daffodils on, so he can hand them out to anybody who's around, you know, if they're interested. And if they speak to me, obviously they can see and ask about what I'm supporting, because I've got a big hat with Marie Curie with all the sweets in. And yeah, and hopefully the girl from Marie Curie will be down at 8:30 to help hand out leaflets as well. So it's, yeah, just that we don't want to be too in your face, like, because I think that is off-putting to some people. We're not asking for money. We're just raising awareness that, you know, this charity is out here. It could be that you actually want to get in contact with the charity to find out what they do and how you might volunteer. So it's not a monetary thing per se. It's a means by which, you know, this is a good charity. This is something we support. Please have a look at it, see if there's anything you can do to help.
And have you done things before to raise awareness for Marie Curie?
I've run the Great North Run, obviously, from being a northerner. I think it's a rite of passage to run the Great North Run. So I think you have to run that at some point in your life. And it's always a nice thing to do to raise money for it, because I think people are quite happy to watch you flog yourself on a great run and get so hot and exhausted, and just to really support you and give some money to a good cause.
And what impact would you hope to have by doing this on the plinth today?
I think the impact would be to maybe, you know, if out of all the people who might interact or speak or take a leaflet, even if there's just a handful who happen to go onto the website or go into one of the charity shops or donate something to them in some way, whether it's their time, whether it's money, whether it's all that unwanted items, or need to get in contact and use their services to help support them, even if it's just half a dozen people, I think that's a good link, because those half a dozen, if they have a good experience, it then sort of goes out in waves. They might let other people know, and it becomes a knock-on effect that more people might be aware of what goes on and how they can help.
And what about the impact on you? What would you like to take away from the experience?
Well, an interesting one, because I think people do ask, why are you doing this? Why are you going up there? But then that sort of petered out initially, and it's like, oh, it's just an excellent idea. It's great fun. You'll be up there. And I was like, I'd just like to have a good time up there. I'd just like to see a very different perspective. Not looking down on people, because that doesn't sound right, but looking down in a sense that I'm quite short, so I'm always looking up at everything all the time. I always have to look up. So actually to be that tall for an hour would be amazing. It's like people will be looking up to me, but not in a hierarchical kind of way, just in a sense that I've suddenly gained a massive amount of height for the day.
Do you have any expectations about what it will be like going up on the plinth?
I kind of thought it would be slightly lonely, actually. Just from some of the accounts I've read on the website and comments people have put on Facebook and things, that although there's a lot of crowd interaction, actually being up there is quite an insular solo experience, which I quite like that contrast, that idea that, yeah, there's a lot going on around you, but, you know, you have that reflective time just to yourself.
And do you have any hopes or fears about how it will go?
I think the only fear was falling off. I think obviously the hopes, so it would be nice if there were some people around and they came past or they waved or some good photos came out and it was useful to the charity in some way. So I think that, yeah.
And what do you do when in your ordinary life, working or?
Yep, I'm working, as I said, I'm just moving permanently to London, so I've got a job in a university in London, so I work in higher education, done that for a while now. Something I really enjoy, and I've worked in various different schools and fields, but I have worked in the cultural field for a number of years, but now I'm working in a different field. So that's my working life. Obviously being in transition to London's quite an unusual experience, having come from the north, where it's I would say a much quieter place than London. So I think that perspective, looking at London as it's sort of waking up, I think that'd be nice, because you can just walk around London and it's incredibly busy and vibrant, which is great, but also to someone who's not used to that, it can be quite claustrophobic as well. So I think it'd be quite nice to be up at that height and to just watch it and see it and just appreciate it for what it is, other than the mass brawl it sometimes seems at rush hour to get to work, where people aren't really interacting. So I think that would be good.
Now you're looking forward to living in London?
Yeah, I am. I am and I'm not, because I love where I come from so much. And one of my signs is actually I love Newcastle, and I've always loved it. And I think a large part of me still belongs up there. But I'm here to embrace the whole experience of London, because there's no shortage of things to do down here, I would say.
And what is your role that you'll be taking on in higher education where you work?
To start with, it will be supporting postgraduate programmes in a school which teaches informatics. So that's work I've done before. So I think that's a nice way to ease into a new life, to do something slightly familiar, because everything else is changing so much. It's helpful to be in higher education where you have some basis of comparison to where it was at home, because everything else is different down here. Like the air is different, the temperature's different, the moving around different. It's just completely revamped the way you sort of operate. I was always very used to clean air, sandy beaches, long walks, and down here it's not like that at all. I can't get used to the tube yet. I'm still not a big fan of that. But I think once I've sort of settled in and I found the parks that I enjoy and things like that, I think then it'll feel more like a home to me. At the moment it feels more like a place. I still feel like I'm visiting, which it was. I think that'll ebb and I will feel sort of more settled here once I've made more networks and I've got more of my comforts, I would say. Things I did at home, if I can find stuff down here and the links that I like to do. But I think it is like starting from scratch completely.
And to help us understand a bit more about you as an individual, would you tell us the things that are important to you in life at the moment?
Well, not just at the moment, but all time is obviously family and friends, which I've left a vast majority of them up home at the moment. I still call it home. I think I'll always call it home, actually. So, you know, so 95% of my network is at home. So I'm constantly, I would be going back home every single month while I'm down here. And that's all planned out until 2010 so far. I've got weekends I'll be going back because they are a large part of my life and they always were. And the interaction with them is very, very important. They support me, I support them. Outside of the sort of family and friends, there's things that I like to do. I like to be productive, I like to be busy, so I like to work. But also, I like to spend time reflecting, so you can do that, whether you're running through a park, whether you're spending time looking at an exhibition that you like, which is really nice because although Newcastle does have quite a vibrant arts and cultural scene, obviously it's not quite at the same amassed level that London has with it because it's so huge. There's so much to interact with and get to know. And just things like last week doing the outdoor cinema, which was really, really good, sitting in the middle of Somerset House watching Alien that's just been introduced by John Hurst was quite surreal. The outdoor festivals, the food, I must say the food is definitely something that's increased in interest. These are all sort of asides to like the main purpose of family and friends. But I think those additional experiences are something that I've sort of looked for and I'll definitely continue to look for. And I've just got more choice down here, hence standing on a plinth, which I probably would not have done at home, because that's a little bit random.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of this project and one of 2,400 people who are doing this?
I think it's grown my feelings towards it. At first, I would say I was quite indifferent to getting a place. It was just something I thought, that'd be pretty cool if that happened. Then I got the place and I was like, oh, excellent, that's brilliant. And then, as I said, it just ebbed along until the excitement grew from family and friends. It was that influence that has made me think, actually, I really need to be up there and do something. Because at first I just thought, oh, just stand up there in jeans and t-shirt, just wave at people. And then you're like, actually, no, people have kind of, not in a bad way, but there's that slight pressure on you from friends and family to actually do something while you're up there. And hence raising awareness for a charity, however small, I think is a contribution in some way. I was trying to think of something clever to do up there, but aside from sort of my only talents lie in possibly writing, so that would have to be sitting up there writing. But I was thinking, I'd like to dress up because I don't get to dress up very often. So the wig, the little flowery dress, you know, the little sign saying Fairy of the North. It's not something I would ever do in my normal day-to-day existence. I wouldn't walk into the university dressed like that, although I might have to today. So it was that sort of opportunity, really. So it's important in the opportunity sense to just really take that step out of my normal day-to-day 24-hour existence to do 1 hour of something random.
Well, have a good hour.
Thank you.